Hi there, I'm K-Town, and on this edition of Mysterious Radio.
Well, what I remember is being in the Secret Space Program for 60 years in its Quantum Leap time travel program through that. That's how I was put into the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate program. That's one of the groups in the Secret Space Program on Mars. So, and I ended up on 11 Mars bases from the memories that I have in these experiences. And I was born in the Ukraine. And at the age of two, I had been abducted by reptilians, two groups of reptilians, the Cherub Invictus, which is a yellow-green reptilian, about 12, 14 feet tall, and also the Black Drazo reptilian group, which is about also same height, 12 to 15 feet, I believe, in that range. And I was injected with nanotechnology, nanomachines, which are small little nanite particle, which are injected into the bloodstream, and they alter your genetic structure, and they ruin your autoimmune system and nervous system. So they're meant to kill you and to degrade the body, and it's done to little children, and it was done to me by the reptilians.
But the same nanobot technology is what they say that all of us actually have inside of us via the chemtrails.
Yes, I believe so. And I've been studying chemtrails and I've been reading books about nanotechnology. It's smaller than microscopic, so you can't even see it with a microscope. It's very small technology, and this technology can be used to cure diseases, and it can be used also to harm people and food and any living biological matter. So these nanotechnologies attack biological matter, and it degrades it, basically. So, and you do see it in chemtrails from the planes. The supersonic planes, the bigger ones, they eject these chemtrails into our skies. And it ends up in vaccines as well. They insert these nanoparticles into vaccines to make your autoimmune system worse. You can have seizures, migraines from it, all kinds of bad results.
Let's talk about your past lives. And first of all, how many have you had that you remember?
I remember about 20 past lives. I remember the past life as a star traveler, where I was an Andromedan Palladian hybrid, and I lived in the Andromeda star system, so Andromeda galaxy as well, and there was a planet named Andromeda. I remember there's beautiful oceans, beautiful sunset, two suns, I believe. It was purple blue skies, very beautiful planet. So I remember that vivid memory. And there was a space station above the Andromeda planet itself, huge space station with about four different levels. And I looked, I was about 16 feet tall and I had blue skin and blondish white hair, very telepathic. So there wasn't many limitations on what I could do in that body. Basically, you were almost eternal. You almost lived forever. There wasn't any disease, wasn't any wars, no hunger, no pollution. So it was a very utopian world. It was beautiful. And there was a lot of different species on the planet, all living together peacefully and on the space station above Andromeda. So, and I was a guardian at that time. I was basically a guardian traveling the universe, making sure there was peace, that there wasn't any war. And if something did happen, I was there to try to stop it or fix it. So that was that lifetime. And I also remember a lifetime where I was a Siberian shaman in a female body. And basically that lifetime inspired me to learn shamanism in this lifetime as well. Then I remember a 12th century lifetime where I had been a Wiccan witch and I had been burnt at the stake for actively healing people with crystals, with herbology. So, and I had written 3 books, Book of Shadows, and I had buried them somewhere out in the forest in England. This lifetime was in England, and I was burned at the stake for practicing alternative medicine, what is known now as alternative medicine, but they didn't understand it back then. So they burnt me at the stake for being a witch on fire. But I like fire, actually, in this lifetime. I respect fire. I work with the fire element. So even though I was burnt at the stake by fire, that does not scare me in this lifetime.
So I have to ask you, how do you remember your lifetimes? Because most of us do not.
I actually, when I started to learn Native American shamanism, I learned past life regression technique to go in into a very deep meditative state with music, and a special technique with words. And you go back and you ask to see if there are any lifetimes for you to view. And if something calls you to it, you go into that lifetime to have a look at it. And you also do healing as well. You heal missing portions of your soul as well, if you do have a lifetime that you see that was traumatic, maybe. So you basically go and heal portions of your soul as well. So I learned to see my past lives through shamanic techniques, Native American shamanism in particular.
Now, you also leave your physical body and travel to various places in our universe. Can you tell us about that and how long you've been doing that?
Yeah, so it started off with astral travel, learning astral travel through the shamanism, where a small portion of my soul would basically journey outwards and just basically in small portions look at the universe, look out outside our planet Earth, what's there. And then once I learned that, I built my own light body, basically using my soul essence. I built a semi non-corporeal body that basically utilizes most of my soul. Most of my soul leaves my body, my human physical body, enters that light body, and goes outwards to look at different planets, to look at different ships, to learn about different civilizations. And that's how I would come in contact with various different ET species, like Andromedans, Pleiadians, even look at what's going on Mars with the interplanetary corporate conglomerate. Sort of, you could say it's remote viewing, maybe. But beyond that, because I'm in the light body, so I can enter Mars and have a look what they're doing, and they won't see me because I'm not corporeal.
Oh, how interesting is that? Now, so can you do this at will?
Yes, I could do this at will. Right now, I'm choosing not to do it anymore because so many light workers are being attacked when they astral travel or enter their light bodies and look around. There's many different negative entities. Any ETs that if they'll sense your beautiful soul essence, your light, they'll try to attack you and siphon that light off. So I try not to, as much as possible, not to go into the light body anymore because I've been attacked quite a few times. So it's becoming not so easy out there.
Okay, I understand that. Now, how many different alien species are there on this planet, if you know of any?
On Earth? There's a lot of different species walking among us. There's the tall whites, which are humanoid. They look like us, but their skin is slightly more paler than ours. They're taller, for sure. Their eyes are wider. very green or blue. Like, they're striking. They look very beautiful. And there's Nordic species as well, which are mostly predominantly blonde, but there are variations in hair color. And again, they're very tall as well. And they have slightly paler skin than us. There's also the Zeta reticuli, the grays, that are mostly underground. There's reptilians. There's the inner earth, various factions, humanoid, ETs. They look like us, basically. You wouldn't know the difference. There's reptilian-human hybrids. There's Andromedans, Palladians. We are visited by a lot of different species on this planet. One in particular that I found interesting was the Aruna, which was the hammerhead shark species of ET. I had met them during a supposed negotiation when I was on, this was on Earth, actually. I think that was a psychop, though, to test me how I would deal with a fierce-looking species of shark, humanoid shark, that actually can walk on the surface of the planet and not just have to be. And they wanted, what they were actually asking for was rights to openly walk among us and not have to hide themselves in under Earth, in the inner Earth caverns. So they actually wanted to openly be among us. But they, what the secret space program said, no, because the humans, we haven't openly acknowledged to the humans yet that different various ET species that don't look humanoid, that they exist. So we haven't acknowledged that. So you, not at this time. That's what they were told.
Okay, so who makes up the secret space program?
There's various different groups. From what I know, there's the Earth Alliance, which is here on Earth. It's a bunch of people who basically tell the governments how it is. There's also Earth Defense Force. There's Mars Defense Force. There's Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate. There's Solar Warden. There's the Time Corporations. There's the Notched Waffen, the Dark Fleet. So there's many different groups. And basically, what they've done is they knew how to build advanced technology, like reverse engineer anti-gravity spaceships, through learning from secret organizations, through secret societies throughout Earth's time, like 1500s, 12th century and onwards. So they've had this knowledge for a long time. And then they've broken away from these secret societies and created their own breakaway civilizations off planet, especially on Mars and the moon.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. There's so many directions I want to pull you in. And I'm going to go back to the moon here in just a moment.
Sure.
Mars. But I want to talk to you about traveling to inner Earth. Now, are you doing that in your astral body or are you doing that in your physical 3D body?
I think I had done this in my light body and also a few times physically, because I remember in 2006 that I almost like went back in time and participated in a meeting of the 13 elders, 13 Council of Elders in Telos, inner Earth. This is a city under Mount Shasta, actually. It sort of exists in a separate dimension. And when they were having their council meeting, they were actually talking about the reptilian problem, how they would repel the reptilian armada that was coming towards Earth. So they were discussing peacekeeping missions and how the reptilians were a threat in decloaking planets that are cloaked and don't want to be seen. They don't want to be seen by telescopes or other spaceships. And they have like these knowledge library repositories, and 200 various representatives of humanoid species were brought in to basically sit in on these peacekeeping meeting amongst the Council of 13 Elders in the city of Telos in an underground cavern citadel. So that was interesting. And I was asked to wear a white robe and so were the other 200 humanoid species participants, representatives of their planets. It's just a sign of respect. When you participate in these council meetings, you are to wear a white robe.
Okay, so are you being summoned there? Are you, so you say you think you've been there in your physical body. Are you being summoned there somehow? How are you getting there physically?
Yeah, sure. So in 2000, I had been sitting at my computer. I was trying to draw a fractal. I had a picture of a flower or the sun, something like that. And I was trying to draw a fractal. And I saw this, there was this flash of white light on my computer screen. Something that looked like a wormhole opened up. And I was physically pulled in into this wormhole, and I saw myself walking in this underground cavern system with these marble steps, pinkish white steps, and there were these designs on the floor, like circular patterns. I walked down the corridors, and I saw these various different rooms with doors with light portals, that you could walk through a portal and end up somewhere else off the planet. But these doors were closed to me. I was to walk straight to the end of the tunnel system underground in the underground cavern citadel to the huge meeting room that could like sit 400 people for a meeting.
Incredible story. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was actually published in the Canadian Poetry Institute of Canada book anthology, short story anthology in 2014.
Oh, goodness. Let's see here. Let's talk about the Palladians for just a moment, because I do hear a lot about
sure.
them. They seem to be a very friendly race from what I hear from other people. I've never heard anything bad about them, but are they here to help us in some way?
Experience dealing with the Palladians. They were here for me to help me with my soul growth. I think they work with people on an individual level, contacting people. If you're having trouble with your soul path, they contact you to help you with that. So that's been my experience. And there's many different groups of Pleiadians. Some of them are good. Some of them can be negative. So your experiences can be varied. They can be very positive, or they can be detrimental, depending on what the experience is, really. So I think most of them are here to help us, and they're very curious about how we're evolving. But some of those groups are not so positive either. It's like duality, really.
Elena, how many different planets have you traveled to?
I'd say I've traveled to hundreds of different planets. Because I've had lifetimes as a humanoid, and I've had lifetimes as an extraterrestrial. So if you count all of those hundreds, maybe even thousands.
Okay. Can you tell me specifically something about, I find Mars very fascinating, but this time, let's start with Saturn. Have you been there?
I have been on Saturn, and I've been on Venus. And it's very arid environments. There's a lot of different ruins of cities of previous civilizations. Saturn, I didn't see so much of Saturn. I saw more of Venus.
Okay, tell me about Venus.
It had a lot of these technological cities there, like huge megalith, like huge towering cities that were built like, it looked like they were built of rock, but it was also crystalline technology. And something, a catastrophe happened on Venus at one point. So there had been a magnetic shield around these different cities. And in some of these cities, the shield, energetic shield it's been broken. So the cities are damaged. There's nobody living in these cities anymore right now. But these cities are not completely damaged, so they can be made habitable again at some point.
Were you there for a purpose, or were you just there looking around or whatever?
I was there looking around mostly. And there's also some very interesting bases that were left behind by what's called the ancient builder races. These bases are huge, and they were built beside lake beds, beside oceans, near the mountains. And they have a lot of different knowledge repositories in those bases, basically, because they were the ancient builder races. They were about gathering knowledge and improving civilizations. So that's still left behind on Venus.
I wanted to ask you, you may not have heard this, but I did hear a physicist say that government officials believe that Titans are trapped inside the planet of Saturn. Have you ever heard that?
You mean like huge, very huge species of humanoids that are like up to 70 feet tall? Something like that?
Maybe. I know they have something to do with Satan.
I'm very careful about not really buying into that. I've heard something about it, but I haven't explored that. What I do know about Saturn is that the rings of Saturn have multidimensional aspects where different species of ETs can take over the rings and use it as a satellite to send different frequencies of magnetic waves to program humanity. I've heard that, and that the rings of Saturn were used as a weapon, that they were mechanized, and there was actually a facility in the rings itself that was used as a weapon to actually break apart Mars, to try to break apart Mars and the ancient planet Maldek. That's how partially it was destroyed.
Let's talk about Mars, because I've heard so many interesting things about the planet itself. Now, was it like Earth at one point?
Yes, it was like Earth. Exactly. It's slightly smaller. But at one point, there was thriving cities on the surface of Mars. They were domed cities. They've always built the cities dome-shaped with these domes on top. Like it's almost like crystalline technology, because at one point there wasn't the asteroid belt near Mars. So, but they still built the cities in domes. And when the catastrophe hit, the original descendants, right, that lived on Mars, they moved underground, and they look like Native Americans with golden skin, actually.
Oh, cool.
Wow, yeah.
Okay.
So the Ived, and they're still on Mars to this day.
Are we running some type of mining operation?
Yes. Yes. The Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate does have mining operations. They extract gold, they extract iridium, they extract various other precious metals and elements from the Martian surface and also from asteroids. Asteroids are a rich source of mining industry, and there's some mining on the moon as well.
Okay. Now, let's get back to the moon. The moon's fascinating. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to know about the moon. So, is there an alien race living there?
There's reptilians on the moon, that's for sure. And there's also the breakaway civilizations from the secret space program on the moon. There's Lunar Operations Command, which is the main headquarters for the secret space program alliance. And there's a lot of various training bases there on the moon. That's where humans are first brought in as assets for the secret space program factions, for the various factions. Your first training begins on the moon. Then you're transferred to Mars and other planets in our solar system.
Okay. That sounds like same thing Corey Good has been saying, actually.
Yeah. Well, the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate also has some bases on the moon, not just the secret space program alliance. So there's also the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate bases there. A lot of mining bases, mining facilities, research and development laboratories as well, and genetic manipulation and alteration. So that happens on the moon as well as on Mars.
Now, Elena, the people that are involved in the secret space program, who's involved in it?
Various corporations like Lockheed Martin. Subsidiaries, Lockheed Martin, you know, space contractors, NASA GPL is involved in this. Boeing, Douglas MacDonald. So there's all those aerospace corporations. They're involved with the interplanetary corporate conglomerate. They're heavily involved in making the reverse engineered craft that supply some of those bases on Mars with stuff from Earth. And you know, you have to look at the military-industrial complex as well, the shadow government, mainly the U.S., what they're doing and how they're involved in these corporations, as well the medical pharmaceutical industry. Some of those companies are heavily involved with the interplanetary corporate conglomerate, with the health technology, like the interplanetary corporate conglomerate. They have holographic medical pods that can cure any disease and even bring you back from the brink of death. So they have this technology on the moon and on Mars. And these companies, the pharmaceutical companies, secretly benefit from this technology behind the scenes, even on Earth.
Elena, let's talk about the technology. And you said, see, this is not the first time I've heard this. I had someone else talk about how they have these, this pill you can take that will, you know, it's like reverse aging, and how they had this technology to cure diseases and things like that. Are they ever going to actually come out and share that with the general public? I know it's probably a dumb question, but...
Well, I think right now they're using it in the breakaway civilizations on the moon and Mars, and maybe in various underground secret classified bases here on Earth. I think this technology in 20, 30 years probably will come out, the medical holographic pods. Because it was featured, this technology was actually featured in the movie Passengers with Jennifer Lawrence. So that was featured on a futuristic spaceship traveling 200 years in the future to colonize a planet because Earth was overpopulated. Basically, it was like this huge long pod with doors that would open up. You would get into this pod, it would close, it would scan your body. So it's literally with lasers scan your body and detect the illness that you had, and it would literally burn off the illness with the lasers. That's what it looked like in Passengers. But you had to have had a certain amount of credits, digital credits, like money, in order to use the pod. And if you didn't have the credits, you couldn't be healed, even 200 years in the future in the movie. And they were traveling on a spaceship that was malfunctioning. So they couldn't even contact Earth because they were 98 light years away from Earth at that point. So they had to break into this medical pod and use it.
You mentioned how this was the same thing in a movie that you said, yeah, Jennifer Lawrence was in?
Yes, Passenger. It was called Passengers.
Okay, I'm going to watch that now. I'm bringing this up because everything that I've heard, not everything, but the majority of some of these things that I hear discussed on my show, I can connect with a movie. Mm-hmm. So I've heard that they have put a lot of things that they're really doing in these Hollywood movies.
They have, yes. A good example is recently I had been discussing how the interplanetary corporate conglomerate trains female assassins in the roles of dominatrix, escorts, where they infiltrate groups of men and get information from them. Because most of these assassins are telepathic in nature. These females are very beautiful and they're highly skilled and trained to infiltrate men and get information from them, especially men that work in the secret space program. So what they do is they come in. The men think that these are just escorts, that they are of no threat to them. So they'll chat up these escorts. They'll tell them classified stuff, because these men could be drunk, they could be on drugs, they could be strung out from stress. So these women actually pick up information from these men, and then they report back to their SSP handlers what information they got from the men. And sometimes they'll capacitate them depending on what the programming is that the women were given to do. And there's this new movie coming out in March 2018 called Red Sparrow, again with Jennifer Lawrence, about these women being trained in Moscow to be assassins and escorts and to complete their missions at any cost. So that movie is very interesting. It's called Red Sparrow. And now, I had talked about the assassins in a recent interview with Kevin Trammell, who also mentioned these female assassins in a previous discussion, private discussion that we had. And 3 weeks later, I hear about the trailer for Red Sparrow, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's a little bit of confirmation that what we were discussing, what I remember as being trained as an assassin to actually, they trained me to kill people, but I don't remember killing anybody. I do remember the weapons training. So I am very interested in seeing this movie when it comes out next year.
It sounds great. And I love Jennifer Lawrence anyway. So it's strange that even the other movie, I forgot the first movie, she was Hunger Games.
Yes, yes.
That one, too. People were saying, oh, I think that's what we have coming. So,
yeah, that's a little bit extreme.
A little extreme.
I hope it doesn't get that far because we already have a dystopian civilization. We don't need more dystopia.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right. So are we in a incarnation cycle?
We are because we still have the veil. That's been placed in front of us. When we incarnate on this particular planet, we are blank slates. We don't remember any of our previous lifetimes. Some of us maybe remember something later on in our late 20s, 30s, if we had something specific we needed to do on this planet to accomplish, then we remember why we came here, what was the specifics of what we're here to do. Some of us never remember, really. We just want to experience this timeline, this reality, what's happening here, even though it's not perfect, but we just want to experience a lifetime on Earth in a specific time frame of the most, you know, the most prolific historical events happening that we haven't seen before. So some of us are here for specific missions and some of us are here to just experience being here because historically this is a very interesting time to be here.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. I should have said that a little different. I meant, are we trapped in an incarnation cycle? And I thank you for understanding what I meant by that. But now I've heard that there was also a machine on the moon that was made to capture our souls. And I think actually Max Spears said it in his last interview that we don't have a normal, like our life review is actually shorter and our memories are wiped and we are sent back in an incarnation cycle with the same people all the time.
Yeah, there is soul catcher technology. The secret space programs have it where they could basically take people's souls from their body, put the soul in a electromagnetic container, and then put that soul into somebody else's body. So like it's like a soul transplant. That's one type of soul catcher technology. The other ones is, and it's not just on the moon. It could be anywhere. It could be anywhere in space. What it does is, you know, when somebody passes over, when they die, on the verge of death, they see the light tunnel. They see a beautiful flash of light and somebody they know or used to know who's passed away as well, their grandmother, grandfather, their mother, their father, a friend, and they're beckoned to go into this light, right? And they're told they're going to go into a wonderful place, that it's okay, follow me, you know. Once they walk into this light, That's the soul catcher trap technology. And it takes you into a recycling way station. Again, your soul is put into a container of some sort. Your brain, you're basically mind wiped of all your memories that you had in your Earth lifetime before you died. And then you're sent back on Earth. And that's considered the slave trap of reincarnation. Now you can choose, it's based on your belief systems. If you've learned enough and you're not afraid of dying and you have no fear and you kind of know what's going to happen, you can avoid this soul trap of continual reincarnation on Earth. You just choose to not to go into the light. You choose to not listen to whoever that family member is or spiritual guide, whoever is telling you to go into that light tunnel. And you just say, you know, I'm going to chart and course my own path in where I want to go in the universe or in another dimension. I choose not to go into the light. I choose to go where I want to. So thank you very much for your recommendation, but I'm choosing my own path. Because, you know, that family, that familiar family member, it's probably not your family member. It's either an ET masquerading as somebody you knew, or it's a dark entity that doesn't physically have a body anymore, but it wants to trap you. So that's something that I've learned from my shamanic experiences, my soul travels, my other past lives, not to go into that light and to chart my own course where I want to go as a soul that's passed on.
You're exactly right. It's exactly what I heard. In order to, but he called it the death trap. So he was telling people how to avoid that.
Basically, you listen to your own inner self. You listen to yourself. And also these soul reviews, these life reviews, that's another trap, you know, where you have these elders that come in, the Time Lords, and they say, okay, let's review your life record, what went down, you know, do you think you did anything wrong? Would you change anything? You know, go back to Earth and have another lifetime. So these life reviews are also another form of a trap, a soul trap, to get you to come back to Earth, to convince you.
Okay. Well, I had not heard that. Thank you for sharing that with us. I want to ask you about the Queen of England. Is the Queen of England a reptilian?
Yes, she's a reptilian that's been here for 7,000 years, and she's tired of being here. She's not a happy reptilian to be here on this planet anymore. She wants to be gone. That's what the psychic message that I got from her, because she briefly contacted me. She said to me, aren't you scared of me to see me in this telepathic communication? And I told her, no, I'm not. I was abducted by reptilians before, so you're nothing new. And she's green. She's a very tall green reptilian. And she said, I'm tired of being here. I'm tired of taking people's negative energy. It's draining on me. I'd like to leave this world. I'd like to stop the pretense. I don't want to be here. That's what she said to me.
Why can't she leave?
I think some of these reptilians made their own agreements of why they're here and why they've posed as human monarchy, as English monarchy for so long. Now, the Queen of England, this particular queen, she's been around for 7,000 years. She's been here 7,000 years. So, and I don't know what the agreement was, why she's here, but she said she's tired of it and doesn't want to do it anymore.
Wow. They've always said she was a reptilian. So I believe they've even captured like pictures of her eyes changing. How are they able to keep human form? How does it happen?
Most of them are shapeshifters, so they could take any shape they want, or they have cloaking technology that can make them look human for a time. So sometimes it's an innate ability to shapeshift into other forms of biological beings, Or technologically, they could alter themselves with cloaking technology, where they kind of, it's holographic technology. They have an appearance of being humanoid. It's projected holographically. They project it telepathically through the holographic cloaking technology that they're wearing, a suit or a button, you know, and they maintain the human form.
Now, is there anyone else that you can tell us about that's in the public eye that is a reptilian?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. Now, tell us about Antarctica. Do you know what's going on down there? Do you have any idea?
Yes, Antarctica is very interesting. What's happening on the surface is that Lockheed Martin has some bases up there. Skunk Works, they've built out the reverse engineered craft, and they use the craft to launch from their docking ports to launch to get to Mars, so it's not so noticeable in other planets. And there's underground, there's different types of Atlantean outposts that are underground and on the surface that were left behind by the ancient Atlantean civilizations. There's also various secret space program bases, so that's there as well. And recently I've read an article saying that scientists are actually exploring the cavern systems, subglacial cavern systems in Antarctica, and they've found some very interesting plant life and animal life. The remains of plant life and animal life. But I think there's also remains of ancient civilization cities and also bodies down there that have been discovered by the secret space programs and the advanced technology that was left behind by the Atlanteans in Antarctica.
Okay. What kind of bodies do you know? Or what were they doing?
They were doing genetic experiments, so they were splicing humanoid DNA with animal DNA and other ET species DNA to make stronger human hybrids, human ET hybrids, or human animal hybrids. There were different chambers of laboratories down there where they did genetics underground, and those chambers are still there. Some of those bodies are still in those chambers in the glass enclosures.
Well, do you think that's why John Kerry tried to slip off down there to take a peek, maybe?
Yeah. John Kerry and Kirill, the Russian spiritual leader, Kirill. Right? Yes. He went down there as well. Putin is scheduled to go down there too. Buzz Aldrin went there. So a few of them went there and had a look. I'm sure they were shown something that was classified, not sure to which degree. I mean, if you go down there, there's the ancient Atlantean stuff to see, outposts, genetic labs, spaceship building laboratories. There's the current SSP bases that are there. There's the German bases that are there as well. Docking facilities, ports, you know, even the military industrial complex has some of their own research and development bases up there on the surface of Antarctica. So there's a lot to see. There's a lot of various things to see.
Thank you for sharing that for us. Now, I want to talk about Valiant Thor. I don't know if that story is true. I did see it, and I heard you talk about it on another program, so I wanted to have you share what you know or what you've heard about that story with us.
Yeah, I've never met Valiant Thor myself. What I heard that during the 1960s, his ship from Venus came to Earth, him and three other people. There was a few men and women in him, and that he approached the U.S. government. And he said, we are willing to give you technology that will help you clean up your planet and hunger, pollution, and war, as long as you're willing to give up your nuclear weapons. And the government said no to him, but they gave him a negotiator job in the White House for several years, where he got to observe how we as humans, as a civilization, interact, especially in America. And he did a stint with the U.S. government, and then he left. because he made them the same offer again and they refused. So he left. But he said that his people would be keeping an eye on Earth to make sure we didn't destroy ourselves.
Now, what race of ETs is he from?
He's humanoid, I believe. Yeah, it was said that he's Venusian. He's from Venus. That's just the research that I've done, what's out there. I don't know much about Valiant Thor, really. I only know what I've researched.
Okay. Now, my last question is, what happened in that SpaceX explosion? What caused that to happen?
I believe that it was a setup. So basically, they couldn't reach Mars. It's too soon. Now, Elon Musk is heading up SpaceX. So basically, and he plans to get there to Mars by 2035. That's the plan. 2025, 2035. I think that there was an Israeli satellite that was put on the SpaceX rocket to be launched as a spy satellite, as the newer version, and it could spy on any country. And one of the breakaway civilizations didn't want that satellite up in Earth orbit. So it was, they caused an explosion.
Okay. All right. Well, Elena, I've really enjoyed having you on the show tonight. Please take a moment to tell my listeners where they can find more information about you and your website.
My website is Messages from a Star Traveler, and you can find it on any internet browser. Just type in Messages from a Star Traveler. And my YouTube channel and online show, digital show, is Awakening Cosmic Reality Show. And that's my YouTube channel, where I post all my interviews, podcasts, vlogs, all that kind of stuff, and presentations.
All right. Thank you very much, Elena. You're welcome back here anytime. And I appreciate you coming on Mysterious Radio. To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at mysteriousradio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of four, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.